Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Before we take a look at today's readings, let me just comment. I have mentioned to you that I'm offering my free booklet on faith. Free booklet on faith, and I want, if at all possible, I want every one of you to have read it by the end of February, if we can make that happen, at least as soon as possible during Lent. I want you to be able to read this or reread it. Reread it, because I'm going to be teaching on some of these aspects of faith, and I want you to have something in your hand that can be helpful. So simply dial our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Secondly, I want to say something to you. I've mentioned it once before recently, but I want to say it now because we're almost on the heels of Lent. And what I want to say to you is I have put together a CD, which is about a 45-minute talk on faith. It's called 40-Day Journey: Encountering the Love of God. I want to show you what faith can do for you if you really believe. So I want you to have the booklet. It's free. I'll give you the price in a day or two on the CD, but I really want to encourage you to have that CD, and throughout Lent, I want you to listen to it again and again. I'm going to help you with this, because though I can't see you, the Holy Spirit can reach every one of your hearts, and I want to see you grow in your faith. Even if you say, my faith is strong, God has greater faith for us. I want you in a place where your faith is alive. So the CD is entitled 40-Day Journey: Encountering the Love of God. And that can be accessed by going to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ. For the free booklet, dial 1-800-282-4789. To get the CD, go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. And the title of the CD is 40-Day Journey: Encountering the Love of God. I will be repeating this, but if at all possible, make sure all of you have a copy of the booklet for the next number of weeks. But secondly, the CD, I think, can really be a gift in a certain sense that can accompany you through all of Lent. Much more to say on all of this, but I wanted to make sure that you had that information today so that you can go ahead and order. Today we take a look at the first book of Kings, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. King David said to Joab and the leaders of the army who were with him, "Tour all the tribes in Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the people that I may know their number." Joab then reported to the king the number of people registered in Israel, 800,000 men fit for military service in Judah, 500,000. Afterward, however, David regretted having numbered the people and said to the Lord, "I have sinned grievously in what I have done." Why? What was the sin? Because he was counting more on his own strength in the number of people that he had under him, so to speak. He was depending more on that. That's what was giving him some confidence, rather than on God's call, God's direction, God's supply. Doesn't mean we don't use the supplies around us, but it means first we look to the Lord. And David realized how much confidence he was putting in the numbers of people he had. He said, "I've sinned grievously in what I have done, but now, Lord, forgive the guilt of your servant, for I have been very foolish." humility. There it is, just straightforward, no excuses. I've been foolish. When David rose in the morning, the Lord had spoken to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, this is what the Lord says. I offer you three alternatives. Choose one of them, and I will inflict it on you." Gad then went to David to inform him. He asked, "Do you want 3 years' famine to come upon your land, or to flee from your enemy 3 months while he pursues you, or to have 3 days' pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what I must reply to him who sent me." And David answered Gad, "I am in very serious difficulty. Let us fall by the hand of God, for he is most merciful, but let me not fall by the hand of man." And thus David chose the pestilence. Now it was the time of the wheat harvest when the plague broke out among the people. The Lord then set a pestilence over Israel from morning until the time appointed, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. But when the angel stretched forth his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord regretted the calamity and said to the angel causing the destruction among the people, "Enough now, stay your hand." The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And when David saw the angel who was striking the people, he said to the Lord, "It is I who have sinned. It is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong. But these are sheep. What have they done? Punish me. Punish my kindred." David was a wise man. Notice he wanted to take the blame on himself, and he was guilty. But oftentimes our sin causes many other people to suffer, doesn't it? Many times we don't even see sometimes because we're so blinded by our sin. We don't see the suffering we're putting on other people and the difficulties they encounter because of our pride or our arrogance or whatever may have caused the difficulty. "It is I who have sinned. It is I, the shepherd, who have done wrong. These are my sheep. I want to be a better shepherd. I want to be a good shepherd." Brothers and sisters, pay attention to these attitudes that David has. He doesn't excuse himself. He asks forgiveness. He prays for his people. He doesn't try to get out of it, so to speak. He's honest. And God, therefore, knows he can trust him. And God blesses him. Psalm 32 tells us, "Lord, forgive the wrong I have done." You know, it's so good, brothers and sisters. It's so freeing when, you know, you're preparing, let's say you're preparing for confession, or you simply want to go to another person and say, "Will you please forgive me for what I just did?" That takes humility, whether it is in the confessional or whether it's face to face with someone whom you've hurt. And we excuse ourselves and we try to get out of it, or we try to mitigate our part in the problem. You know, "Well, I wouldn't have done that if so-and-so hadn't done this." Rather than just taking responsibility for what you've done. And I think when you're preparing for confession, but very often, to just stop where you are and say, "Lord, if there's anything I'm doing not pleasing to you, reveal it to me, show me, so that I might follow you. So that I might become more like you. Lord, please forgive me for my part in this difficulty or that." Whatever it is, just be honest with God, because that's when his grace can flood your soul. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. And they said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given to him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon?" Brothers here meant all cousins, all relatives. "And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. "Who does he think he is, acting like he's God? We know him. He's a carpenter from Nazareth. We know his family. Who does he think he is? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there. He was not able. Why? Because of their lack of faith. They are the ones who shut the door against his transforming, healing power. He was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Amazed. What would Jesus say to us? He accompanies us all the time. He knows our every thought, word, and action. What would he say to us? He certainly would probably say to all of us, O ye of little faith, why do you doubt? O ye of little faith. So our faith is many times hasn't been severely tested. And so we think, oh yeah, I'm faithful. I'm a good Catholic. I'm a good Christian, whatever the case may be. We say it, but it's only when it's tested, it's only when it's challenged that we see how deep or how shallow our faith really is. And God wants us to be a people who are utterly confident in who he is, confident in the truth of his word in Scripture, confident to put our lives into his hands. That's what God wants to do for us. He has so much he wants to give us. And we say, no, thank you very much. I'll take care of it. I'll do it in my way. And that's not that's not going to bring us blessing. It's not going to be what it is that God desires to do for us. Brothers and sisters, I really want to encourage you to open your heart to the grace and to the mercy of God. God wants to help you. God wants to restore you. God wants to bless you. God loves you. God loves you dearly. God loves you deeply. So I want to encourage you in every way, brothers and sisters, in every way, to seek after him and to follow him. He has more to give you than you can begin to understand. He has so much more to give you. He loves you beyond price. He desires to draw you close to himself. He desires to accompany you. He desires to walk right with you, to speak to your heart, to teach you, to lead you. So draw near. Even if you feel foolish, even if you're not sure what you believe, say, Lord, I want to draw near to you and walk with you. Help me. May God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.